Well, that was worth getting out in the cold for. If you have your Bible, Matthew, the second chapter, we'll begin in the beginning. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall become a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go search carefully for the young child, and when you found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask that you would take your word, that you would lift our hearts, that you would teach us, Father of Jesus. Thank you for the miracle of Christmas. Father, we pray that you would just lift our hearts and spirits today. Father, that we would find wisdom in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we had Christmas Day, and then we had another day, and now we are on Sunday, and a lot of people are saying, "I'm just so glad Christmas is over." Well, Christmas isn't over. You see, Christmas is a continuing thing. It's not a one-day thing. You may have heard at some point in time that December 25th was probably not the birthday of Jesus. And yet we know there was a birthday for Jesus. So when do you celebrate his birth? Every day. Every day should be an exciting day. Every day should be a day that we hold to the truth that he came. Almighty God came. Born of in a manger? Yes, absolutely. Born for us. Christmas is not contained in a day. In fact, many of the things we are taught about Christmas happen after the birth of Jesus. Things are revealed in truth to prove who he is. In this chapter, we see Luke tells us Jesus was born in a manger, but here he has moved to a house. So some time has passed. We don't know how much time. When a child is born today, I'm generally instructed to get the particulars. I'm supposed to know when they were born, where they were born, how long they are, how much they weigh, and on a few occasions I'm asked the Apgar score, which I seldom get. Matthew is really not interested in any of those things. He really isn't even interested in giving you a chronological order of things. He is interested in saying fulfilled. In 1:22, these things were done that it might be fulfilled. In 2:15, that it might be fulfilled. Fulfilled is a key word. It's telling us that one by one, Jesus is checking off the boxes. He is fulfilling what God said that the Messiah would have to fulfill. He's letting it be known that this is not just a baby. This is the Christ. This is the Messiah. This is the one promised from the Old Testament and now revealed in the New Testament. This is not just a baby in the straw. This is God come to town. And so Matthew wants us to know how Jesus was received. Largely, he wasn't. On the earth, ignored. In Bethlehem, a few shepherds came. He, in his own element, was just there. People in Jerusalem did not even travel 5 miles to see him. But there were those that acknowledged who he was and how important this birth was. They're called the wise men. They came from afar. Jesus was not just the Messiah for the Jews. He was not just the Messiah for a few. There is a heresy going around today. Many are saying that Jesus only died for a select group. Jesus died for everybody. Jesus came for everybody. And it's proven in the fact that when he was born, non-Jews came to worship him. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus came for the whole world. Not the whole world at that time, but the whole world of all time. Anyone who will come to him will be saved. In Jesus, we need to find wisdom. You know, I don't know about you, but our world needs wisdom. I need wisdom. Maybe you need wisdom. It's hard to know which way to turn. When do you wear a mask? When do you take a mask off? Where can you go? Where can you not go? Proverbs 13:20 says, "He that follows wise men shall be wise." If you want to be smart, hang around smart people. Now let me add to that. If you want to be smart, hang around smart people and keep your mouth closed. And take it in. Don't try to give anything out for a while. We're going to learn today from some wise men. Wise men want the truth. You know, one of the real pains of today's world for me, I'm a news junkie. I like to know what's happening all the time. But I want to know what's happening. I want to know really what's happening. I don't want to know falsified facts. It's hard to turn to a news program and get news you can trust. We need the truth. And the wise men want the truth. In 2:1, we see that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem is a familiar place. If you read the Old Testament, Bethlehem shows up. Bethlehem is where Ruth and Boaz fell in love, the love story. In Bethlehem, they came together. Why is that couple so important? Because Ruth and Boaz are the great-grandparents of King David. So Bethlehem was their home. And because Bethlehem was their home, when it came time for David to be born, David was born in Bethlehem. You know, some cities have nicknames. Columbus is called the Fountain City. If you drive around enough, you'll see fountains. You'll see things spurting up here or there. Maybe not enough to be called a fountain city, but nevertheless, we are the Fountain City. Bethlehem was called the City of David. The most known king of the Jews, the most celebrated king of the Jews, marked that city. They were the birthplace. They were the place David came from. Oh, if they only knew who else came from there. We see God's sense of humor in Bethlehem. Bethlehem literally means house of bread. What's God's sense of humor? He brings his son to the house of bread. Who is Jesus? The bread of life. And so God brings us the bread of life from the house of bread. wise men show up. Now, don't want to ruin your day, but the wise men were not there for the birth. They showed up later. We don't really know where they came from. I know that there are some legends that will place them in certain places, but we get our truth from the truth book, from the Bible, and the Bible doesn't say where they came from, except they were from the east. And I don't think that was Georgia. We don't know how many there are. I know you grew up saying we three kings, but we don't know if there were three kings. The Bible does not tell us. Were there three? Were there 30? Were there one? No, there was more than one because they are identified as wise men. They speak in the plural. We don't know their names. Oh, yeah, if you follow some legends, there's Belshazzar and Caspar and Mechem, and you know, you can come up with names, but we don't know the names. For the truth book doesn't give us the names. They were wise. How do we know they were wise? Well, they had a position of being wise, but they were wise in the fact that they sought the Messiah and they came to worship him. They're called the Magi. Magi were professional astronomers. Magi were well-recognized, wise individuals. Magi were actually kingmakers. Magi were said to be able to put a king in place or take a king from his place. They were learned men, philosophers, advisors to royalty and to nations. They were the scientists of their day. They studied the heavens. They knew the stars. They knew about where everything was supposed to be. And so they come and they ask a question. By the way, it's interesting. These are known as wise men. They show up and they're not spouting off information. They're asking for information. Wise men want the truth. And so they ask the very first question in the New Testament in verse 2. Where is he who is born king of the Jews? Now, you know, the book of the Bibles, you know, there are 66 books in the Bible, but it's all one book. And God has a thread that runs all the way through the Bible. It's called the crimson thread that ties us to Jesus. And when you read in the Old Testament, you find the first question of the Old Testament in Genesis 3:3, where are you? Where are you is an identifying question. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were told they could eat of any tree in the garden they wanted to, but they couldn't eat of one tree. And as long as they didn't eat of that one tree, as long as they didn't break God's law, they would be fine in the garden. But Adam and Eve sinned against God. And when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they realized that they were sinners and they had to hide from God. God came for his stroll with them in the garden and they were hiding. And so God says, "Where are you?" They were hiding in sin. Since Adam and Eve, all of us have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The first question of the Old Testament is, where are you? The first question of the New Testament is, where is he? You have to decide. You have to decide, where is Jesus in relation to you? Who is he? Where is he? Have you accepted him into your heart? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Where is he? Some have said this star that appeared between Saturn and Jupiter was a regular star that appeared about that time. A lot of commotion has been recently because of the Bethlehem star. Got a lot of phone calls. Look for the Bethlehem star. I don't know how many of you saw the Bethlehem star. I didn't see it in person. I saw it on saw a picture of the Bethlehem star. But I got news for you. It's not his star. I believe his star was a once and for all occurrence. I believe his star was to mark this time in history, to mark it wasn't an accidental occurrence. It wasn't just a thing that will happen as the stars align. It was a star created by God to mark the Messiah being born. His star was a glorious thing, marking the way to the Messiah. So the questions, where are you? Are you in your sin? Are you walking in sin? Are you hiding from God in your sin? Where is He? The answer to that question, the answer to the solution to your sin, He is the only one that can come and die for your sin. And His birth is marked by a special star. God led Israel by a cloud. He led them by fire and a cloud. Now God points to His Son by a star. The wise men saw the star because they were looking at the stars. They were aware of what prophecy said. We know that Jewish scholars traveled to the east and took God's word to the east. We know that they taught the truth of God's provisions and that a Messiah would come. They did exactly what the Bible said they were to do. You see, Israel was to be a nation of priests, spreading the word of God. Just as the church today, we are a nation of priests. We're to spread the news of Jesus Christ. And they spread it to the east. And these wise men obviously came in contact with the word that they spread. They were familiar with the scriptures, the scrolls of the day. They knew what God had promised. Numbers 24:17 says, "There shall arise a star." So these wise men made it their focus to look for that star, to look for the Messiah's mark, to look for the time that God would provide the Savior. God has a way of getting your attention. That star got their attention. To the architect, He's the chief cornerstone. To the baker, He's the bread of life. To the florist, He's the rose of Sharon. To the carpenter, He is a firm foundation. To the geologist, the rock of ages. To the physician, He is the great physician. And to the astronomers, He is marked by a star. If men will be honest with their own hearts, they will be drawn to Jesus. If people just focus on Him for a moment, they will know that they need Him. So the wise men were drawn by the heavens. But they were also bothered by the heathen. They come and they seek Herod. Now, if you are royalty and you come to an area, you seek royalty to identify. It is a courtesy. You identify yourself as being in the region. And so they come to Herod. And they identify themselves as being in the region. These wise men bothered Herod. Verse 3 says, Herod was troubled. That word troubled is a neat little word. It just, to us, means that he was bothered a little bit. But in the Hebrew, let me tell you, in the Greek, he was not bothered a little bit. He was stressed out of his mind. Herod, one of the surprises you get when you travel to Israel is Herod is a big deal. Everywhere you go, you see marks of Herod. Today, you see marks of Herod. There's a great museum, the Herod Museum. There are wonders that Herod built. Herod was a master architect. Masada, he built a palace on top of a plateau, a rock plateau, overlooking the Dead Sea. It was a fortress. It was engineered so it would collect every drop of water that fell, and it would collect in huge cisterns so that they would have water in the desert. And Herod had engineered it so not only did they have water in the desert, but one of the neat things you see on Masada, he had a steam room. They had heat, but the steam was an interesting thing. But he was a marvel in that. He knew how to court royalty, and he He played up to Rome. But while he was very capable in some ways, he was a very paranoid man. He was a very vicious man. When they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" that question bothered him. It got to him at his core. You see, Herod was King of the Jews. He was not born King of the Jews. He was bought King of the Jews. He purchased his way into his position with the Roman government. There is now a claim on his throne. Claims on his throne punches his buttons. It really throws him off his rocker. He goes wild. Listen, to protect his throne, Herod killed his own mother. To protect his throne, Herod killed his son. And to protect his throne, Herod killed his wife. Caesar Augustus said, "It would be better for you to be Herod's pig than Herod's son." Well, Herod was king of the Jews. He wouldn't kill a pig, but he did kill his son. Verse 3, it says, "He was troubled and all Jerusalem with him." Well, why did Jerusalem care? When Herod was troubled, it meant he killed people. And so it troubled all of Jerusalem. They didn't know what he was going to do. Listen, when Herod got close to his own death, he ordered the slaughter of the most popular people in Jerusalem so that there would be tears at his death. Herod doesn't know Jesus, but he hates Jesus. He hates the thought of Jesus. He hates the raising up of Jesus. The Herods of this world will try to keep people from Jesus. Listen, Herod's bloodline is really working in the world today to try to keep Jesus on the low. The wise men are directed by God's word. So Herod gets people together. He gets his chief priests. He gets the scribes. These were the people that were supposed to know the Bible. And he asked them, "Where is the Christ to be born?" Isn't that interesting? He believes the Messiah is going to be born, prophesied by the Bible, so much that he says, "Where does the Bible say he's going to be born?" He believes that there is a Messiah, but he will not accept the Messiah. My, that is our world today. There are so many that believe that Jesus existed. They believe that Jesus died. They believe, many, that Jesus is the Christ, but they do not accept him. So Herod says, "Where is he to be born?" Micah 5:2 said Bethlehem. The Bible doesn't hide this fact. Verse 6 quotes Micah. These men had the Bible facts. Herod, scribes, and Pharisees had the Bible facts. They had the facts, but they did not have the heart. They would not travel 5 miles to check out Jesus for themselves. It's unthinkable. And yet, you know, we have a sea of blue chairs today. Some of that is COVID, and some of it's just indifference. And I hate to say, it's more indifference than COVID. We have people that have the facts. They have heard of Christmas. We have people that celebrate Christmas. We have people that put on big light displays for Christmas. But they won't travel a mile or a block or even walk across the street to worship Jesus. And today it means that some will not even turn their computer on and punch a button so they can worship online. Because you see, the truth is there, but they're not living by the truth. They're not accepting the truth. So many people will miss heaven because they did not pay attention to Jesus. So the wise men follow the Bible. There are many indicators in the Bible. 330 prophecies probably more than that, but at least 330 prophecies about the first coming of Jesus, and they are all clicked off, all proving this is the only one that could be the Messiah. A fellow by the name of Peter Stoner did a study of the mathematical probabilities of all these things coming about in one individual. It's not very likely. It is said to be one in a septillion. Now, I don't do septillions. One in 10 with 21 zeros after it. In other words, it's not very likely. And yet it occurs, proving that this must be who God said he is. So the wise men are asking questions. They're collecting the truth. Wise men seek Jesus. Herod is against anything to do with Jesus, so Herod opposes Jesus, and the scribes, the ones that are supposed to know the Bible, they ignore Jesus. Wise men can't ignore the truth. Wise men wonder at the truth. In verses 7 through 10, Herod asked them, where is Jesus born? And he says, go find him. And after you find him, come back and tell me, and I'll go and I'll worship him too. In verse 8, verse 9, and verse 11, we find that he is called the young child. So some days have passed since he was an infant in the manger. The young child. The young child is going to bring the joy of Christmas. This young child in chapter 1 of Matthew is called the son of David. That would mean he's the child of prophecy. He's the child that all the Old Testament told of. He is the child of David, the child of prophecy. In chapter 2, he is the son of Mary. That means he is the child of history. You know, for years there were people that said that Jesus was just a myth. Jesus has been born out in history. Jesus is the child of Mary. God became man and dwelt among us. Peter brings it all together when Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's a child of eternity. Where did he come from? He came from glory. What did he come to do? Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save those that were lost. I am come to be the answer for your sin problem. In Matthew 1:21, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Oh, how we need a Savior. How we need somebody to deliver us from our own sinfulness. Verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. For the wise men, it is a special star. It is a confirmation star. The Messiah has come. Listen, Jesus is the reason for the season. You've heard the slogan, it is true, but he's the reason for every season. He's the one that will carry us out of COVID. He is the one that will carry us into truth and carry us into eternity. Oh, how we need Jesus. The wise men wonder at the truth, and then the wise men worship the truth. In verse 11, they fell down and worshiped him. They brought him gifts. You know, we need to give to Jesus. We need to give him our time. We need to give him our heart. We need to give him our devotion. You know, you can give and not love, but you can't love and not give. And so our hearts should be wanting to live out, to do some small thing for Jesus, to give to him. They gave gifts. They gave weird gifts. My first thoughts are, I don't want these guys shopping for me for Christmas. Gold, oh, but that'll be okay. Frankincense. You ever go into these stores and they're burning this stuff, this incense, and you can't breathe in the store, so you just have to leave? Yeah. Myrrh. Boy, there's one for you. What is myrrh? Myrrh was an embalming ointment. I don't know that you would give that at a lot of baby showers. Frankincense was given for a reason. So was myrrh, so was gold. Gold was given because gold represented a king. Jesus is the King of Kings. Gold would be a natural gift. Frankincense. Frankincense was the gift for a priest who honored God. Frankincense would be burned as a fragrance going up to God. Myrrh, embalming ointment. The only way that fits is that a prophet knows that we need a Savior, one that would redeem us, one that would die for us. And so the gold represents his royalty, the frankincense represents his deity, and the myrrh meant he had to be able to die, and so it represents our humanity. There's a tradition that these kings were discussing what they would bring, and well, I mean, what do you give the Messiah? What do you give the child of God? I mean, it's not a, you think some people in your family are hard to shop for. I mean, imagine, what could you give him? And one said, the world now needs a ruler. The world needs one that can direct. The world needs one that can advise, a king. I will give gold. And another says, well, the world really needs to know God. The world needs a God who can care for, with power to lift up and to give life. I will give frankincense. And after long thought, another says, the world needs someone who can sacrifice themselves, a Savior, one who would die for us. I will give myrrh. And they came to Mary. Have you ever read Mary's song? If you've been with us long enough, we've studied Mary's song. And maybe they heard Mary's song. And in Mary's song, it says, my soul does magnify the Lord. The Lord, the King, the ruler. And so the Magi gave the gift of gold. And she sings on, my spirit shall rejoice in my God. God, the frankincense. And so the Magi gives the gift of frankincense. For he is not only King of Kings, he is God Almighty. And then Mary says, my soul rejoices in God my Savior. And so the Magi gives the gift of myrrh. When the wise men had worshiped, they were awed by God. And they were warned by God not to go back to Herod. And so verse 12 says, they departed in their country, to their own country, another way. Another way. The good news of Christmas is you can come to Jesus just like you are. You know, in your own sinfulness, in your own unworthiness, we can come to Jesus. And once we allow him to save our soul, once we allow him to forgive us, once we allow him to restore us, we get to leave another way. We don't have to stay in our sin. We don't have to walk in our sin. We can have another way. His way. A blessed way. It only happens as we surrender to Jesus. And so today, have you surrendered to Jesus? If you don't know him, you need to come to know him. But if we know him, oh, we should surrender every day to him. And to be wise, we should surrender to him all of our lives. And in that, we will find exceeding great joy. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, I thank you now for this time. I thank you, Father, for the message of the wise men, for how they teach us to worship Jesus, to honor Jesus. I pray, Father, that we would do that exact thing, that we would put you first, that we would give you our all, that we would leave another way every day, that we would allow you to change us, to mold us, to make us, that we might, Father, walk in your will, that we might point others to our Savior, Jesus. Bless now this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great rest of the year and have a happy new year.